Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, it's the situation continues to get worse around Tennessee football. The Vols had a chance to jumpstart their season on Saturday in Fayetteville, and after a solid first half, went down the drain in the third quarter yet again, and now things are looking awfully bleak. Do you see any possibilities, John, or much realistic avenue toward finishing anything better than 3-7 at this point?
Yeah, I think they could finish 3-6 if a game gets canceled and they can't reschedule it.
Okay.
I tell you what, I don't know if you can count Vanderbilt as a sure thing anymore.
Boy, that tells you just how much this season has turned in a matter of a month. We went from Tennessee being 2-0, competing for a half against Georgia, to now a month later, we're saying that Vanderbilt maybe isn't in the bag.
One thing that when I watch Tennessee now, it's really reminiscent of Super Bowls I covered. There was a time frame there where they just had a series of terribly one-sided games, with the NFC usually beating up on the AFC, just horribly one-sided games. It was as though once the game went bad for the team, it went really bad. I mean, there was just so much build-up to that game and the psychological implications of it that they didn't just lose, they just went belly up. It was just awful. And I see that with Tennessee. I mean, when things go bad, they go really, really bad.
And I guess Jeremy Pruitt gets caught up all in that. It's been an interesting narrative to follow, John, with Pruitt, because, you know, you go back to the first half of last season and already pressure was mounting even in year two on Pruitt. Then Tennessee rallied nicely in the back half of that season, so much so that Philip Fulmer authorized the opening of the piggy bank, and Pruitt received a two-year contract extension and a raise and a bonus that kicks in 2021. And with all that comes an increase in his buyout. And so Pruitt is under contract for five more seasons after this one. For Tennessee to fire him on December 1st, his buyout would be nearly $13 million. To get rid of the entire coaching staff, I was punching the numbers earlier this week, it would cost more than $19 million in severance before any possible mitigation of that. So you're looking at a more substantial figure than it was when Tennessee fired Butch Jones in 2017 by several million dollars. And I don't know how realistic that is, but I guess let's start there. If the losses mount in the back half of this season, as we sort of expect at this point, with a couple ranked foes remaining on the schedule, do you think we should entertain any possibility that Pruitt's tenure could end after three seasons, or is a coach just not getting fired in the middle of a pandemic when the athletic department already stands to lose $40 million in revenue?
Well, I think we could entertain anything on our podcast. I think that's fair. Unrealistic, though it may be, I just don't think there's any way they would fire Jeremy Pruitt. Also, there's the Philip Fulmer factor. How foolish does he look if he fires the guy, his handpicked guy? I mean, this was all his doings. It wasn't like there was a huge search committee that vetted all these candidates. Philip Fulmer had three guys, and he chose Jeremy Pruitt. And so I think he'll stick with him. Then again, but after next year, I think, then you could fire him. I think that's a reasonable scenario.
That's a good point with the athletic director, John. Philip Fulmer's contract, unlike Pruitt's, does not last into infinity or seemingly infinity. Fulmer's contract is set to expire on December 31st, 2021. So we're just about 13 months away from the end of his contract as athletic director, and his buyout is substantially less. Starting on January 1st, Philip Fulmer's buyout would be a mere $300,000, which is chump change in the world of college athletics. And so you raise a good point. You know, if Tennessee were to move on from Jeremy Pruitt, that would be Philip Fulmer hiring another football coach who was responsible for the Pruitt hire and also then responsible for increasing the buyout and increasing the contract and increasing the salary for Jeremy Pruitt. And that's hard to fathom that he would get another crack at that if all of that goes so amiss. So I guess moving past that, then it seems like we're probably in agreement here that Pruitt will remain the coach regardless of what happens these next few weeks into 2021. But as you wrote about a few weeks ago, John, any struggling coach needs some scapegoats. I think as you wrote after the firing of Jimmy Brumbaugh, it's kind of in a well-known page in the coaching playbook of if it's not going very well for you in your coaching tenure, you find some scapegoats and shift the attention toward them a little bit. So who are we seeing emerging as the top possible contenders for leading scapegoats for Jeremy Pruitt?
Quite a few candidates, I think, Blake. You can look at, let's first of all go back to Jimmy Brumbaugh. I mean, he fired him 4 weeks into the season. So he could say that Jimmy Brumbaugh had such a horribly negative impact on the whole program that it's still hovering over the program, that just his being there really impacted the program negatively. And we're still trying to get that past that, he could say. So Jimmy Brumbaugh is one. Of course, Jared Garantano. I mean, he's been everybody's scapegoat for a long time. We saw the other quarterbacks perform against Arkansas after Jarrett was injured, and you saw how that went. Interceptions were flying, and Brian Maurer looked like he'd never tried to decipher a defense before. So, yeah, Jared Garantano, Pruitt can just say something like, well, you know, Jared's a hard competitor. He's doing the best he can, but, you know, still not quite good enough. We need to get better at that position. And that kind of plays to what a lot of fans think. Anyway, this guy's horrible. He's also the best quarterback Tennessee has. So that to me is an obvious choice.
And that's going to make it difficult, I think, to make Garantano a scapegoat that most people would accept, though, because I do think fans were willing last season when Pruitt threw Garantano under the bus multiple times, particularly after that Florida game. He really shoved him right under the front wheel of the bus. And then, you know, after the Alabama game last year, when Garantano went rogue with that quarterback sneak, it was a pretty public dressing down of his quarterback. But I think at this juncture, John, fans have tired of that line of thinking, because I think most of the belief that I'm getting, the feedback I'm getting from Tennessee fans, is that it's Jeremy Pruitt's responsibility by now to have a better quarterback than Jarrett Garantano. If in year three he doesn't have someone better than him, then Garantano doesn't work as a scapegoat. That still comes back to the head coach. And so for me, I think there's got to be a bigger head that could have to roll here to really come up with a convincing scapegoat for this season, because I don't think Garantano is going to be an acceptable choice. And Jimmy Brumbaugh could have worked, but I really thought it was a rookie move by Jeremy Pruitt to fire him after week four, because, you know, as any veteran coach would know, you need to save your fall guys toward the end of the season.
Sure. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's fine to fire him. If you want to fire him, sure, but at least keep him around for a few more weeks. And you got to pay him anyway, so let him just, you know, do something for the next few weeks on staff and then make him out to be a scapegoat at the end of the season. He kind of wasted that opportunity, I think, by firing him when he did.
I agree. I mean, he certainly could cast aside a quarterback's coach, Chris Winkie. That would work. And if need be, he might have to dump a coordinator. I think things are so bad when they reach this stage, you have to dump a coordinator. A position coach isn't sufficient. You Jim Chaney or Derek Ansley. Derek Ansley's kind of his guy. He hired him. And I mean, Jim Chaney certainly has a long, successful track record, but these are desperate times, and head coaches do what they have to do in these situations. They can always couch it as, well, we're just not quite on the same page here with what we need to do going forward. Nobody's really failed. We just aren't strolling hand in hand down the lane to a championship.
We'll be right back.
Sometimes when you watch the Vols, you just need to chill out. Hi, this is Rob for Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Crack open the mountain cold refreshment of a Coors Light. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. A perfect moment to unwind. For me, I reach for a Coors Light whenever I'm home and a Tennessee game is on. And for that matter, anytime any game is on. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport or any team. So flip through the channels, find a game, and enjoy a cold Coors Light. These days, we all need to hit the reset button. When I need to unwind, Coors Light is the one I choose. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
John, I wanted to follow up on the Jim Chaney dialogue that you opened up there as we consider potential scapegoats for Pruitt to decide on for this season. How realistic do you think that one is? Because I do feel like whether coaches leaving of their own accord or Jeremy Pruitt making the decision to make a change, I think we could see, you know, anywhere from 3 to 4 staff changes during this offseason, because it's much cheaper to swap out a few assistant coaches than it is to overhaul an entire coaching staff. But you know, when you look at Jim Chaney, this was a much celebrated hire just a couple years ago. It's been a struggle offensively for Tennessee under his watch. Pruitt has criticized the play calling at times this season. And Chaney has one year left on his contract. His buyout would be shy of $2 million. It'd be a little over $1.5 million if Tennessee were to make a change there. How realistic is that, do you think? That, because that would be a pretty big change. You know, I mean, shy of making a change at head coach, which neither one of us thinks is very likely, you know, changing your handsomely paid offensive coordinator is about the highest profile move you could make.
Again, I guess there's a way you could look at it. You could look at it differently, that he doesn't need a scapegoat because Tennessee simply won't fire him with this much money left on his contract during a coronavirus pandemic. So he's good and he doesn't have to make that move, not to save his job, at least. Mm-hmm. So he might be okay there. A problem, though, with getting rid of assistant coaches at this juncture, Jeremy Pruitt would be squarely on the hot seat going into next season. Do you really want to join that staff?
Well, I do think the best job in the land is being a fired football coach. So I would have I'd have no reservations to taking a 2 or 3 year contract, in which case I stand to get paid millions of dollars if I get fired. I mean, I would love to paid millions to not work, and I think there's a lot of Americans that feel the same way. I mean, I like my job. I like working. I'm all right with it. Sure beats not getting paid, but getting paid not to work is pretty good too. So I'm not sure about that. I think somebody might, if the money's good enough and it's a multi-year deal to where you know you're gonna get some buyout money.
Yeah, that's a good deal. But you got to have a contract. You got to have a multi-year contract
for sure.
To join this ship, yes.
And the other thing I would mention with the coordinator change, there's certainly something to be said for consistency, and that was sort of the narrative this season, coming into this season, was that would a second year in a row under the second offense coordinator help Garantano? But I do think if there's ever a time to change coordinators, it could be this offseason, because you're already going to have, unless Garantano comes back for a sixth season, you're going to have a new starting quarterback next year anyway. This could be a clean break, an opportunity to install a new system for Harrison Bailey going into his second season, or Caden Salter coming in as a freshman. And it's going to be a new system to him regardless, whether it's Jim Chaney or someone else. So if you're putting your hope in the young quarterbacks, you know, I think maybe it could be a time to make a change where, you know, the argument isn't as strong for having consistency with the offensive system.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that may be the way you want to go. The best I think Tennessee can hope for is the next Caden Salter, or freshman, comes in next year, and he's a real hot shot. That's the best reason to be optimistic, I guess. But right now, this thing is a mess.
John, I guess take a little devil's advocate approach here. You know, we've kind of talked about all the reasons, not all the reasons, but some of the reasons why we think Tennessee will stick with Pruitt is that, you know, the cost of overhauling a staff in the midst of a pandemic where the athletic department is cash strapped And just the optics of making coaching change months after authorizing an extension, a raise, and an increase in the buyout just don't look great. But I guess the flip side of that argument is, if it gets to the point where there's just a belief that this isn't working and that it's not going to work, why wait another year? I mean, you save yourself a few million dollars. The buyout comes down a few million by waiting another season. But the counter argument to giving him at least one more year to get this figured out would be, if you feel like the writing's on the wall anyway, you know, already to this point in his tenure, Pruitt has a loss to Georgia State, which comes up every time he loses a game that people feel like he shouldn't lose. As we're reminded of the loss to Georgia State. He's lost to Vanderbilt. He lost at Kentucky at home in blowout fashion. Tennessee hadn't lost to Kentucky at home since 1984. Now lost to a first-year coach in Sam Pittman. You know, I mean, is there still hope that he could be the guy? And if there's not, then why wait?
Looking at where Tennessee is after 3 years, I don't think there's a whole lot of hope for that. I do think if Tennessee lost to Vanderbilt and was 2-8, I think there would be strong sentiment despite the price tag of letting him go. I mean, that would be – Vanderbilt hasn't won a game. I don't expect it to win a game, but if it plays Tennessee Thanksgiving week and somehow pulled out a victory, I mean, that would be – under any other situation, yes, he would be fired.
I'm going to do one of those things, John, where I establish a thought, I argue with myself, and then I argue with myself here. Swinging back the other way, another point against making any sweeping changes, such as a change at the top of the head coach, I think it would be hard to semblance any sort of recruiting class for programs making a head coaching change this year, because it's already tough anyway with the early signing period to salvage a recruiting class when you're making a coaching change, usually early December, late November. But when you have a situation like this year where recruits aren't coming on campus on official visits because of the pandemic and everything has gone virtual, you know, Tennessee staff has built relationships over, you know, these virtual engagements with these recruits, and they've done a pretty decent job assembling a recruiting class despite, you know, the challenges of recruiting in a pandemic. I do think in the slim chance Tennessee were to want to make a coaching change this year, I think that would make it awfully difficult to try to scramble and salvage a class. You can't bring recruits on campus right now. I think it would be very difficult to get recruits on board with a new coach in such a short period of time.
The wild card there would be, what if you had somebody in mind? What if you had somebody you really believed in and you would really be willing to take that step?
As you look at the Pruitt tenure right now, we've got 2.5 seasons to evaluate. There's been a little bit of good, but a lot more bad, I think, than good. There's no quarterback development. You really got to look deep, I think, to see signs of progress here. What's your feeling here? Is this a coach that's having a hiccup in what's ultimately going to be a successful tenure, or a tenure that could at least last a few more seasons? Is this a coach that's sort of playing out the string, whether it be this year or at least through the end of next season? What's your evaluation at this point?
I think the latter. I see too many red flags. You mentioned some of them. A loss to 25-point underdog Georgia State, collapse against BYU in the final minutes. That was last year. Then this year, losing to Kentucky 34-7. I've never seen Kentucky beat anybody like that. Okay, maybe Vanderbilt, but usually that doesn't happen. And the other thing is, no sign of progress against the big three, Georgia, Florida, Alabama. They just keep rolling. Tennessee doesn't come close against those teams.
I pose the question, John, to my brilliant texters in my text group. You know, I value their opinion on matters of the day, and it's a way to get a thumb on the pulse of what the fan base is thinking. And I presented the possibility of Tennessee finishing 3-7 this season, with the lone remaining victory being over Vanderbilt, and offered the options of what Tennessee should do. A, should they say, regardless of how much it's going to cost, make a change now at the head coach? Should they wait, give Pruitt one more season, but make it clear that things need to be significantly better in 2021? It's a make or break year. Or should everybody just relax, chill out, and say, hey, need to end this cycle of constant coaching changes and give Pruitt a minimum of one more year, probably at least two more years? And the feedback was pretty scattered. Seems like most of the response was for that second option of give at least one more season, but if things aren't better by the end of next year, make a change. But there was some feedback toward option three of there's just relax, get out of this cycle of constant coaching changes, and you know, maybe think about giving him at least two more years to see where this is going. Do you see that? I mean, does Tennessee need to pump the brakes here, get out of this cycle of changing coaches every few years? And, you know, especially with the contract extension, the buyout being what it is, you know, is there a good argument to be made for committing to Pruitt kind of here for the long term?
Not based on what we've seen. Tennessee needs to get the right coach if it's capable, but that's what he needs to do.
So no patience here.
No, I mean, I haven't seen enough to convince me that he's the right coach. And this, as you said, just a hiccup.
John, final thought is how much we've mentioned possible scapegoats here, possible excuse making that can be made. We're already hearing some of it. Pruitt talking about this being a young team, which is simply inaccurate. How about this, John? 20 of the 30 players who have played the most snaps for Tennessee, that's 15 on offense, 15 on defense. 20 of those 30 are juniors and seniors. Two-thirds juniors and seniors. That doesn't sound like a young team. So anyway, we've heard some of the excuse making. And one of the things we keep going back to is, well, this is an unusual year. Players in quarantine during the preseason, not a traditional camp, no spring practice. Of course, all programs were dealing with that. But how effective do you think that will be? And do you think, I guess more to the point, do you think Pruitt should be evaluated and judged on his performance this season the same as if this were a normal year? Or do you think the evaluation should be a little bit different because this isn't a season like anything we've seen in college football?
No, the circumstances are the same for everybody. So, of course, he should be judged on what he's done under this situation. To me, COVID doesn't factor into it. It's been hard on everybody. It's been harder on other programs than it has Tennessee's, in fact.
All right, John, we'll leave it there for now. I'm sure there'll be much more to discuss on this topic in the coming weeks. But thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.